In this segment, we are talking to a local veterinarian who's written a book of true stories about cats, dogs, and other animals. Dr. Catherine Prim owns Applebrook Animal Hospital in Ootowaa. Her book is called Tennessee Tales, Pets and Their People. Dr. Prim, welcome to Around and About Chattanooga.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So you grew up here in the Chattanooga area.
I did.
You went to GPS. How long have you had this animal hospital in Ootowaa?
I opened it in 1998.
And why did you decide on that location?
It was kind of close to home, but I thought it was a really good area. I thought there was a lot of potential for growth, and I was right.
Yeah.
Because the area really is vibrant and fun.
And your book tells the story of some of the people and the animals who've come to the hospital over the years. Would you describe it as a memoir?
I would. It's classified as a memoir. In fact, I just won runner-up for the memoirs category in the Animals Book Festival, I found out last night.
Oh, wow.
So
congratulations.
That was, yeah, thank you.
The book is called Tennessee Tales, Pets and Their People. I like that. Pets and their people, not the other way around. Why that specifically?
Because that's the truth. I think your pets kind of own you. Sometimes they almost pick you, but we're certainly very good servants for our animals,
because
we provide the things that they need, and they give us a lot back.
And it's the story of some of the people who've come in. Some of them are funny. Some of them are almost heartbreaking. One of the funny ones is called Baby Daddy. This guy named Tom comes in with a puppy that he can't quite identify. Can you describe the puppy that Tom brought into you one day?
Well, he thought that the puppy was a golden retriever, which, of course, everybody knows have beautiful wavy golden hair.
Yes.
And this puppy was not long-haired. He was short-haired and had long ears. He just about tripped over. He looked like a hound dog. And I'll never forget him saying, "So, when is his hair going to get long and curly?" And I thought, oh, boy, never.
And this was back in the days before you could just do a DNA test and find out what the animal was.
Right, right. I think they were just starting to do it because he asked me when I told him. He said, "What do I do?" You know, he's registered.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, "I saw his mother," you know, and I said, "Well, you didn't see his father. You might have thought you did, but you didn't."
But I think the problem was you were worried that maybe if it wasn't the exact kind of dog he wanted, he might get rid of it.
I was, because, I mean, you see a lot of things, and I know that he had in his mind, here's what I'm getting, and it wasn't what he got. But I think if you read the story, he got a lot out of that relationship, and they both really were made better by knowing each other, and didn't matter what kind of hair he had.
The book also talks about a cat named Kentucky who bit you. And was this a pretty serious injury, getting bit by this cat named Kentucky?
It was pretty serious, yes. I had to have a little bit of surgery on my hand, and I had to wear an immobilizing splint for several weeks. It's memorable. It's a very memorable injury, but it wasn't Kentucky's fault.
And I take it the owner was mortified.
Mortified, yes. I see her now and then, and she still apologizes for that.
Well, that's the thing in the book. Yeah, it never seems to really be the animal's fault. It's always people. Maybe we're not quite dealing with the animals the way that we need to deal with them. The animals are innocent.
Right. Well, I wasn't really paying attention to what was around me. And as the story says, Kentucky had a big issue with other cats. So, yeah, that was my fault. I just hadn't noticed the other cat nearby.
Is that pretty common? Is that something you have to worry about as a veterinarian? Animals, you know, they might get afraid in the office with all the dogs barking or whatever?
I'm always alert because I learned how bad that injury can be, but not overly alert. I mean, I certainly don't get bitten every day or every year.
The space itself is pretty interesting. You talk about that in the book. It's a house that you've converted into a kind of an animal hospital. And, for example, you had to change a closet into an isolation ward for sick puppies. Why did you have to do that?
Because there are certain diseases that are very contagious to other pets. And I want to protect the ones coming in as well as treat the ones that I have. So I had to find a place in the animal hospital that was low traffic, that was isolated away. Now I have a special ward that I built because I have a better budget.
Yeah,
But then I didn't, and so I turned my walk-in closet in my office into the isolation ward. So, yes, that story, that's out of the closet is what that one's called, yeah.
And that's something you talk about is just the amount of time and effort, particularly in the early days, that you had to put into refinishing the house yourself, you, your family.
Yes. I think I say in this story that it's blood, sweat, and tears. I think I mention that a lot, that it is. And it really is. And I just love being there. I mean, it just holds so many memories for me.
I understand you treat only cats and dogs. Why only cats and dogs?
That's a complicated question. Only cats and dogs now.
Okay.
I used to treat horses, and as the story, the book tells stories, I've had some very serious injuries with horses. So I decided that I would just kind of stick to cats and dogs for safety reasons, maybe. Maybe just that I'm not lucky with horses, but just cats and dogs now.
One of the interesting things I would think about being a veterinarian is, you know, if you're a people doctor, so to speak, well, you treat people. But when you're a veterinarian, you could treat just about any animal out there. I mean, how do you even do that? Learn about all the different types of animals and what they need and how they're different on the inside?
So much more fun. I actually am working on a blog right now about how cats are not little dogs and pets are not little people. They're different. They're not like us. We had to learn all the differences in the different species. But that's just kind of interesting. Kind of keeps it fun. And I don't know, I wouldn't want to work on only one species.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Dr. Catherine Prim. She's a local veterinarian. She's written a book called Tennessee Tales, Pets and Their People. And you were talking about this. It's one of the most dramatic stories in the book. It actually takes place outside of the animal hospital. You were riding a horse. The horse threw you. You were knocked unconscious. And I can't even imagine what this would be like. You woke up in the hospital and had actually lost your memory. Did you recognize your husband, things like that?
I did not. First of all, the horse didn't throw me.
Oh,
it wasn't the horse's fault. My saddle broke. Don't blame the horse.
Okay.
But yes, I woke up, I opened my eyes, and there were people there that I didn't recognize. It was, it wasn't really that stressful to me right then because I didn't realize I was supposed to recognize them.
Yeah.
But yes, that was a journey, and I write about it in the book because all along that experience, I never forgot I was a veterinarian. And I never forgot how to be a veterinarian. And it just amazed everybody. My husband says that I would look at him and say, "Who are you?" And then I would look at my medical chart and say, "Oh, why are they giving me that?" And I mean, it was just always kind of a reaffirmation that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. It's in my hardwired into my long-term memory or something. I don't know.
Did you have to do a lot of physical therapy, learning to walk and things like that?
I did. I had to learn to walk, but and I had to learn a lot of things, but the occupational therapist released me because she said I remembered how to do surgery, and she said I remembered all the things that I needed for my job.
That's just amazing.
It is. Can't explain it.
Well, as you say in the book, you've wanted to be a veterinarian since you were 5 years old. So what kept you on track all those years? Most of us totally abandoned whatever it is we wanted to be when we were little.
I just never did. It was always my passion. I just knew that was what I wanted to do and where I wanted to be.
What made you say, you know, I've had all these experiences, I've met all these people, let's write a book about it?
Well, like I said, I was writing a blog. And so I wrote a lot of stories and I published them as the blog. And several people said, you know, you ought to put your stories together into a book. These are great. These are great stories.
Yeah.
You have a lot of talent as a writer. So I guess the rest is history. I did that.
What pets do you have of your own?
I have two cats and a dog. And my dog is the Great Dane Dora that is in the book.
Are you a cat person, a dog person, both?
Both.
Both.
Yeah. They're different. And they both bring their own special thing to the relationship.
And the book, proceeds of the book are benefiting a couple of organizations. What are they benefiting?
Local animal rescues, the Pet Placement Center, and the Humane Society here.
And that's you're involved with those fairly often, being a veterinarian?
Yes. Yes. Try to be there when they need me and to give them proceeds at every opportunity.
The book is called Tennessee Tales, Pets and Their People. Where can readers find it?
It is available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Our local Barnes & Noble has copies, and they're signed, and they're always available in my animal hospital.
Well, is there anything else you want to tell the listeners?
It's a great book. Everybody so far really loves it. It's
got
terrific reviews. I'm so proud of it. I can hardly stand it.
I enjoyed it quite a bit, and I'm really a cat person, so of course I like the stories about the cats. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.